tonight.
Thank you very much, Sister Henry. God bless you as you read that punctum, which was well done. To God be the glory. What a moment. What a moment in the history of the world as Jesus read that portion. What a moment. We'll be looking at it in a little while. But let me first say to all of us, a very, very pleasant good night to you. Good evening to you as we start our Bible studies tonight. We are so glad to have you with us, and we hope that you will have your Bibles with you. We are glad for you if you are here for the first time, or even if you are here only for the second time, we are extremely glad to have you. We trust that you will enjoy the service, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will leave a word on your heart tonight so that you will ponder over it in this challenging world that we are living in. We just need to focus upon our divine master, the one who makes the heaven and the earth, the one who we have to look to for the very breath that we breathe. Give him some attention. Take time out to ponder over him, his greatness, his might, his wisdom, the God of all creation. Some writer declare, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. When I think, somebody take the time out to think, to ponder over what he has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. It means carving out some time to pay attention to the Lord. And to you who are here in this service tonight, I bless God for you. For you to choose to come. Because there are many other things that you could be involved in. But tonight you have come to the place where we share God's word together. So that God will enlighten us in our spirit and gives us the fuel that we need to continue the journey. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So you're here for the first time tonight, are always, we bless God for you being here. And we trust that we will continue to have this company on Tuesday nights and on Sunday mornings as we come to do it all over again. Bless the Lord for you. And remember, the time is going to come, and which is not too long from now, when we're going to open the phones and we're going to ask you to give your input. We have been dealing with this passage here for quite a little time. And I believe by now some of us may have stopped to look at it. And who to tell, during those times, the Lord probably reveals something to you that you think that you should share with all of us. We would have it together as we worship the Lord in the studying of his word. I bless the Lord for all the mothers who were with us on Sunday. God bless you once again. I really did enjoy myself in that service as I listened to the different tributes pouring in, addressing the different mothers. It was a wonderful thing to listen to and to experience and to know that God, in his own way, in his own style, he has caused this to be a drumbeat by continuing to say, honor your father and your mother over 8 times. Honor your mother and your father is recorded in the word of God. It means that it is something glad to know that we were able to, as a church on Sunday, come together and have a good celebration on it. And I bless the Lord for our sister Barbara, who have go through the different sections and cause this to be such a success to all of us. And we look forward to the next one, which regrettably is a year. We have to wait a whole year for it. That is the bad part of it. We have to wait so long for it. But I still look forward to it anyway, that the Lord will bless us, that we will have a good time together again. And may I remind all of us that the Father's Day is coming up next month. And we trust that together we will worship the Lord and we will have a good fellowship as a church. Bless the Lord. Thank you once again for coming out Sunday to help us to have a good time. To God be the glory. Tonight, we are hoping to finish up this section here as we are studying the job description of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We started out not too long ago. We never know that we would have so much Bible study segment coming from this passage of Scripture, but we do. And we are hoping that tonight will be the final of it, and we will start a new series next Bible studies. But tonight we would like to look on the final three areas. The last time we review the whole thing and we stop at number three. Now we'd like to go into number 4, 5, and 6 as we try to finish up this job description of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight, which is from St. Luke chapter 4, from verse 16 to verse 21. There is where we have been laboring over this period of time. And we are hoping that we will finish up tonight, as I said. And there will be the time when you will be able to make your own contribution or observation. So we are going to go to the section where it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And the section we're going to look on tonight is the section that says, and recovering of the sight of the blind. Recovering of sight to the blind. That is the section we're going to start tonight, because the last time we stopped up deliverance to the captive. So tonight we will start off recovering of the sight to the blind. And then we are going to go into the section that says to set at liberty them that are bruised. And finally, we will look on verse 19 again, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Okay, so we did this before, but it is more of a recap that we're going to do tonight. The recovering of sight to the blind. Now, Jesus made it clear that the Spirit of the Lord is not doing anything in all these six job descriptions that we have identified. There is not one of them that Jesus is going to approach without the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit. Because he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to do these things. He is being anointed to carry out all these different areas of ministry that affects humanity. And here he said that the blind, the physically blind, it is the Spirit of the Lord that is upon him that will enable him to cause this physical blind to be able to see. And when we take a close look on this, we find that this carries a double segment. Not only that there is the physical blind, but there is also the spiritually blind. And we discover that in this segment, Jesus fulfilled those two ministries on the same person. He uses the same person as an example to apply the remedy for these two conditions, of which we are going to look to, if you will go with me to St. John chapter 9. So we find that it is so important that we understand what Jesus was saying. Because when Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to do all these things, it means that he is only the starting point of it. But it is the ministry that would continue even after Jesus is gone. But he is now setting up the example for us to follow. Us in the church to take on these responsibilities and go with them and accomplish the same things as Jesus did. In fact, there was a time when Jesus said, greater works than these shall he do. Greater works in terms of volume. The church would be so developed. There would be so many people added unto the church. And the Holy Spirit would move among so many different people. So that all of these people, at least most of them, would be endued with power from on high to perform these miracles and works that Jesus has set himself out to do right now. But we find that on one person here, Jesus demonstrates the two areas of ministry, which is physical healing and spiritual healing in the same person. So we read St. John chapter 9. St. John chapter 9. And I will read from verse 1 to verse 7 for us to get the gist of what is being said. St. John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was born, which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the what? Light of the world. When he had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eye of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The Lord bless dear the reading of his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he was supposed to, or he is supposed to give sight to the blind. That is one area of his ministry which was spoken of here that our sister reads so well to us tonight. The recovering of sight to the blind. Here we have Jesus came across this man. The disciples asked, who sinned? Who it is that had sinned that caused him to be blind? Right away, they are saying this happened because the parents are guilty. Or the man himself is guilty. I don't know how that happened if he was born blind. Why he is blind? Jesus said, look, neither it is because of this man's sin, nor the sin of his parents, why he was born blind. But that God would be glorified from his illness. The time would come when God being glorified from this man's blindness. The world would look on and know that he was blind. The community would know that he was blind. But some miracle took place that caused him to be able to see again. And in him seeing, the world would see and realize that God has the ability in the person of Jesus to perform such a miracle among men. And clearly, as a result, when you read the rest of this information, you find that when this thing filters to the communities, and the people realize that brother over there who was blind all the time, now he is able to see, their attention has no focus upon God, because it is from God that this thing happens. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost is upon me to perform this miracle. And so the man went as he obeyed the Lord Jesus to the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing, was able to see Jesus as Jesus, the disciples as the disciples, and his own parents for the first time, because the word said he was born blind. He was able to identify faces. And without a doubt, many hearts must have turned to God when they saw this miracle. Jesus said it happened because the Holy Ghost is upon him. And as we stressed the last time we were here on a previous Bible studies, Jesus did not perform this miracle because he was sinless. Jesus performed the miracle because of the Holy Ghost. And if Jesus performed the miracle because of the Holy Ghost upon him, despite the fact that he himself was sinless, it means that you and I needs to operate in the vein of the Holy Ghost. as a church. Nothing is going to be done meaningful unless the Holy Ghost is involved spiritually. The man who was born blind now is able to see. And as we said, giving sight to the blind as a double approach is a twin ministry here, as was done on this man. Now we have seen where he has received the physical part of his healing. There is yet another part that he has not experienced. And that is the fact that he was blind spiritually as well. He was blind physically, and he was also blind spiritually. Let us look on the same chapter, verse 35 to 38. St. John chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. How Jesus has performed the second segment of this miracle on the same person, demonstrating that there is a physical aspect of blindness and there's a spiritual aspect of blindness. Verse 35. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Meaning, the same man that had just received his sight, he went into the synagogue. And when they questioned how he had received his sight, and he told them, they kicked him out because they said that that thing was done on the Sabbath day. So they threw him out of the church. Because whoever it is that did this to him is an enemy of God in their mind. Because that person was working on the Sabbath day. This miracle, this act was done on the Sabbath day. So as a result of that, they threw him out of the church. So Jesus now, in verse 35, as we read again, Jesus heard that they had cast him out of the church, that is. And when he had found him, when Jesus found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? That's what Jesus said to the man who he had healed his blindness prior to. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus said. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord? Who is he? I don't know him. I don't know him. Now, can you imagine? He had received his sight, and he didn't actually know who it was that allowed him to be able to see again. And now Jesus heard about what happened to him and found him and went and talked to him. And he's questioning, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He wants a chance. He wants a chance to be able to give his life to the person. Listen to what Jesus said. And as I respect this section here, I remember the encounter that Jesus had with the woman at the well. Verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, you are in the presence of that person. You are in the church. I want you to understand tonight that when we emphasize that the presence of the Lord is with us in a service, this is what we are talking about. To create this level of awareness of the presence of God with us so that we might be able to draw down on the promises that he has made to us. We need to be aware of the presence of our God with us at all times in the meeting. Because this man was in the presence of the Lord and he did not know. Jesus had to bring it out to him in no uncertain way. I read through the 7 again. And Jesus said unto him, thou art both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. The man replied, no, verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Hallelujah. Right there, his heart was broken. Right there, he discovered that this is the Savior. Right there, he discovered that this man needs to be worshipped. Right there, he discovered that his life had been changed by the virtue of being in the presence of the Savior himself. And the glorious thing about it is that he has received his physical sight, and now he is receiving his spiritual sight. I am able to see through the eyes of the Spirit my Redeemer. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So Jesus performed a double miracle on this brother. A double miracle that changes his life forever. Hallelujah. I am now able to see where I walk physically, and I am now able to see where I walk spiritually. The Spirit of the Lord that is upon Jesus, that was upon Jesus, allowed Jesus to do this. And if you read the rest of this chapter, you will find how Jesus confronts the leaders of the synagogue and calls them blind. They were seeing, yes, physically, but they were blind spiritually. Read the rest of it, and then you will discover that. But here is a man who was both blind physically and blind spiritually. And Jesus' ministry was offered to him in no uncertain way. And he walked away a complete man. He was totally whole. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So this is an example. This is a demonstration of what Jesus stood up in that temple to read as he read that portion of Isaiah, declared to the people that today is the beginning of a change that will come on the life of people. And here Jesus demonstrates that change in the life of this man. Tonight I want to say that Jesus is still alive. I want to say that Amen. Jesus is still alive. He's alive Amen. In the church. He's alive all over. He has the ability to do Amen. The same thing all over again.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And we just want to glorify him and to praise his holy name.
Bless God.
Bless the Lord. Before we go on to the next one, which is the one that deals with to set at liberty them that are bruised. I don't know if there's a thought that somebody would like to share with us.
Just a short one.
It is just to be noted that the Holy Spirit, many people think is a feeling, a sensation, but that the Holy Spirit is a person, and is the third person of the Godhead. And Jesus referred to him as he. And we just have to wake up to the fact that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a sensation or a feeling, but we are talking about the presence of someone, the third part of the Godhead.
Yes. Yes, Sister Fiammi, that's true. He's referred to as he. Mainly we are talking about the third person, in the Godhead that works along with the church. And I in the convention, in the recent convention of my new divine, on the Saturday, the segment was under discussion of the Holy Ghost. Pastor James, some of us might remember Pastor James. Pastor James was responsible for it. And I understand, I was not there, but I understand it went very well based on the discussions that came from it, from the different people. And not only that, it went very well in terms of the question and answers, but the thing that came from it is that there seems to be a vacuum. There is room for discussion on the work of the Holy Ghost in the church, which is not being addressed as it should. People are eager to find out more about the Holy Ghost. Who is he? What is his work? How does he work? All of these questions are out there wanting to be answered. And that is what sort of trigger off something out of that convention, why so many of the believers are talking about it. As questions seem to be coming through, wanting to find out more about the Holy Ghost and how the Holy Ghost operates.
You know, I just wanted to say this
quickly,
that just as how we don't see Jesus, but we accept him as he and him, so it is with the Holy Spirit. He too is a person that we cannot see, so we have to accept him like how we accept Jesus. Because we accept Jesus as he, and the Holy Spirit is also he. You know, so we have to really reach that place that we can accept the Holy Spirit as the third person operating among us. And Jesus said that, I finalized this, and Jesus said, I must go so that he, the Holy Spirit, will come, for he can be with all of you all at the same time and everywhere. Amen.
Yes. That is our true sense of the enemy. And it is important for us to understand here that it is the Holy Ghost that really starts everything. He is the person that starts everything. When the earth was without form and void, it was the Holy Ghost that first moved. Go back to Genesis 1. It was the Holy Ghost that first moved upon the waters. And you'll find that nobody can be saved anywhere in the world without the Holy Ghost first work on the heart of that individual. It is the Holy Ghost's responsibility to show us who Jesus is. And I would go into something to prove that, but that is for another study. That is for another study, because it would really take me some time to go into John to prove some things there in regards to the Holy Ghost. But I'm saying to us tonight that Jesus would not, even in a sinless state, do anything without the Holy Ghost being upon him. And here is a work that has been produced by the Holy Ghost through Jesus. The blind man was able to see physically, and the blind man was able to see spiritually.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Can I make a quick comment, Pastor Henry?
Yes, ma'am.
This might be just a very simple thought here I'm about to share, but the reference to the physical blind and the spiritual blind is very touching to me also, because when things happen in our lives and we sometimes question and feeling that why is this happening, and some of us might even say we shouldn't be experiencing this, but I am looking beyond an experience with us challenging. For example, I want to say quickly that someone who had not seen for over 7 years, and I know the last time I saw this person had on a lot more body weight. And after 7 years seeing this person again, and the same recently for the person, I must commend you that you have kept such a good health regarding, you know, how you have kept your weight and all of that. And he said, It has nothing to do with that. It is God who saved me. I had cancer about 4 or so years ago, and I could not stop praying to God for healing. That with all the treatment that I was getting, I would finally come out to make it, because he had young children. He would be dying if it had ended another way. He would have died, left his wife and 2 children to take care of, plus his career path would have come to an unfinished end based on what you were saying. But he is emphasizing so much how prayer is important, and God really answers prayer. That, you know, he continued to emphasize God really answers prayer. So I'm saying here now that he knew God answered prayer, but he going through such a situation like having cancer and coming out of it, having a miracle testimony like that, I think this is a very powerful thing. Yeah.
Amen. 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 The whole question, what I would like to leave with the church tonight on this subject is that we serve a God who knows the ending from the beginning. God knew that this man was going to be born blind. And God knew that at some point he was going to be glorified by this man being blind. I don't know, some of you probably remember, I told you in one of these studies that when it comes to physical blindness, I was close to it, because I grew up with my uncle who was blind. He was blind from birth. But blind from birth, God gave him a skill. God gave him the ability to be able to play music. He specializes in an instrument that some of you probably don't know, an instrument called banjo. And he was able to play the guitar, and he was able to play another one that you hold on your shoulder, the violin. Those 3 instruments he was able to play. And would you believe that he does not know what is in his place at any given time? Of course he would know the name of the different dishes. But to identify what was in there, he could not have done that. But when one of those banjo strings burst, he is able to go inside his bag, he is able to take out a new one, and he is able to string that string and start playing again.
Amen.
How all of these things happen, I don't know. Please don't ask me. But as and play in their different place of worship. And the Lord must have gotten a lot of glory and honor out of the fact that he had that skill. And he blessed so many lives. And God himself was glorified.
Amen.
Not able to see anything. Jesus said, it's not that the man's parents was at sin, or the man himself, but that God should be glorified through him. Yes. And the time came when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, and the man was sitting out there, and Jesus went in his direction, led, I believe, by the Holy Ghost, and manifest the glory of God and the power of God. And changes came not only in his life, but the entire community. What a God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, Pastor, the saying is that if you never have a problem, you wouldn't know he could solve it.
Yes. That is so true, my sister. And I just want the church to know tonight that we serve a God that is alive. God is alive, Amen. Church. God is alive.
Amen.
God is alive. And sometimes things might not look good with you. He might not look good with me. But God still is in control. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Pastor, I'd like to say something about the blindness.
Yes, go ahead, Sister Bernice. Go on, Sister Barbara. Let me just say to all of us, if you sometime the phone, the call does drop, and if the call drop, if you're listening and the call drop, please hang up and call again. All right, I just want to say that. Thank you, Sister Barbara.
Yes, sir. Talking about physical and spiritual blindness, there was a discourse with Jesus and the Pharisees. He was explaining scriptures to them in Matthew 15. But what Jesus said to them was, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Although they had eyes to see, although they had physical sight, they didn't have any spiritual sight.
Yes.
And so, those are blind leaders. I mean, if they're going to lead us spiritually, then and they can't see spiritually, then we are going to fall into the ditch. Yes. Fall into hell or something like that.
Yeah, we're both going to fall in the ditch.
We're going to be lost.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Oh, bless the Lord. Let me orient to the next. Because if we continue like this, we'd have to come back to this. And I really don't want to come back to this. Let me go on to the next section. The next section says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. We touched on that the last time, prior to the last time, and we are not going to be very long on it tonight. Only to say that there are emotional scars that many of the people, even of God, has. Scars that cannot be seen. Bruises that is below the surface. Depression, anxiety, fear that cause us to be down so often. We at times experience these things. And Jesus knew that these things are common among men. And he declared in his word here, to set the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to set at liberty them that are bruised. Deep down, the feeling, deep down, the anguish, deep down, the pain, And you will oftentimes hear people say, I don't want to tell anybody what is happening to me. I rather keep it to myself. Scars from the past. Scars that happen. And it sometimes stops us from sleep in the night. It sometimes stops us from really having a good time with our families and our friends. It is bearing down hard on our mind. In Psalms 42, the psalmist said, verse 5, in fact, two verses in Psalms 42 said almost the same thing. Why? Verse 5 said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. For what? The help of his countenance. It means the psalmist was saying, my faith, my countenance is reflecting that I am suffering deep down. I am bruised deep down. I am seeking the help of God to change my countenance. It is easy for us walking by somebody and to know that the person is joyful by just simply looking at their faces. It is also easy to see that there is somebody who is having a difficult period by looking at their faces. So the psalmist was conscious that his face was, his countenance was giving him away. Because others were identifying that there was a problem. And apart from verse 5, verse 11 in Psalms 42, read almost similar. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help. Listen to this. For the help. And the help of his countenance. He knows that only God can change this. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach, to bring deliverance to those that are bruised. You remember what Isaiah said? Isaiah said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to... So Jesus had experienced bruising. He has experienced inner pain apart from physical bruise. The Bible tells us that he was in all points tempted as we are. He experienced the different areas of our life so that he might be able to succor us. He might be able to be in a position where he can comfort us in our moments of difficulty. Because why? He has been there. He has done that. He has experienced it. He can come in and say, I know what you're feeling, my sister. I know what you're feeling, my brother, because I have been there. But the blessed Holy Ghost is upon me to help you. Hallelujah. And every time that this happens, every time that we go through this, let us remember that the Holy Ghost has anointed Jesus for this purpose. Let us apply to him. But there will be a change. Hallelujah. I mean, listen to what the songwriter said. I remember when my burden rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took him at his word, then at once all my burden rolled away. Hallelujah. I remember. Amen. when my burden rolled away, that a fear that I feared would never leave me night or day, Jesus showed to me the Lord. So I left them at the cross, and I was glad when my burden rolled away. It's not just sin burden can roll away, but bruises can be healed by the man Jesus, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he has delivered that authority to the church where healing can take place.
Hallelujah. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Hallelujah.
It's free indeed. Hallelujah. Is there another thought somebody would like to share with us tonight?
Pastor Sharon, on bruise, you're talking about bruise, the scars,
yes.
And that Jesus was bruised. I think the greatest bruise that Jesus got was when Judas betrayed him, and he said to him, friend, friend, what he said, friend, betrayest thou the master? This is somebody who walked with him, go to church with him, do everything with him, and did that to him. So that should be a deep, deep wound. Of scar, bruise.
It is. And Sister Barbara, the painful part about this that you have just mentioned, it is round the communion table. It is round around the communion table. The most sacred service that the church can ever have. In the communion service, that the Bible said, Satan entered the heart of Judas. Right there before Jesus, as he explained what is about to happen to him, his broken body, as he broke that bread, and when I look and see how you got to be a special way in which Jesus does this. Because these two disciples are Emmaus. It is during the breaking of bread service that they knew the Lord. And Jesus expressing this delicate moment to his disciples, how his body is going to be torn apart. It is there that the enemy enter into the heart of Judas. And it must have crushed Jesus in his heart to know that the enemy was able to come in at that moment. Somebody was able to open the gate to let in the enemy at that moment.
Hallelujah.
Now for that, Jesus said to him, whatever you do, do it quickly. Oh my God. Bruise on the inside. Bruise on the inside, feeling the pain of being betrayed by his closest friend.
Hallelujah. Thank God he said, nevertheless.
Oh my Lord. So God knew that these problems are out there, that the people of the church would experience. The people of the church will feel, and the people of the world as well. As the songwriter said, I have carried them for years, night and day. The psalmist said, my tears have been my meat, night and day. In a scar, in a bruise that one cannot see, because the flesh is not broken. But the heart is broken.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Lord. And we have the solution. The solution eventually came in the person of Jesus. Powered by the blessed Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let me just go on to the next one. And as I go on to this, as I introduce it, I'm going to ask Pastor Fiani. He had a talk the last time. I'm going to ask him to just share his thought. And then we will finish off with this last one here. And that is verse 19. It says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We discussed last time that when we talk about the acceptable year of the Lord, we are talking about the period that starts with Jesus and the period that will end at his second coming. As Hebrews tells us, he is the author and finisher of our faith. The whole thing starts with Jesus, and the whole thing will finish with Jesus. During this window from Jesus start, from he introduced himself there in that church, until he returns, that is the window of the acceptable year of the Lord. Yeah. It is during this time that people will be converted to the Lord Jesus. Lives will be changed. The gospel will be preached. And the communities will change. Countries will change. And all of these things will change because Jesus has ushered in a new dispensation called grace.
Amen.
Amen.
And as Titus declared, grace is looking for you. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodly lust, we can live spiritually in this present world. We can live soberly, or we can live spiritually in this present world. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation, it hath appeared unto all men. And I will say some more, but let's give Pastor Fiani a chance to share his thoughts. And I'm going to say some more as we close off this section of it. Pastor Fiani?
Pastor Henry. Brethren, what I'd like to just point out first is that in Matthew we see here where the Word of God tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness.
Yes.
The tempting of the devil. Note, Scripture says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
Yes.
Jesus, the Son of God, it was important for him to be filled with the Spirit of God and to be led by the Spirit of God to begin his ministry here on earth.
Yes.
It's important for us as a church. When you notice that the devil came to Jesus and tempted him, so it is with the church today in this whole 21st century here. The devil is persecuting the church. We have Christ in us, and he lives in us and abides in us. And for us to be effective, like the Son of God, we have to be filled and led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We have heard a lot from Pastor and from the brethren speaking about the Spirit of God. Yes, the Spirit of God is very much alive. And in finishing my thought, I will come back to to the Spirit. Let's look to where we are studying from, Luke chapter 4. And the Word of God says here in verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is that?
Yes.
Just indicated that a while ago. If we look back in Isaiah, the Messianic prophet, he speaks in Isaiah, and he tells us in Isaiah chapter 61, if we read the entire chapter, we'll notice that it was indicated to us that the Son of God would come. But then when Jesus did come to earth in the form of man, we notice that he was led by the Spirit. And this is what Jesus is saying now in verse 10, verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? The incarnation of God in flesh and in blood. To bring the kingdom of God to the earth here.
Yes.
Jesus came, he left his Father in heaven, came to earth, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is now saying to us as a church, we are to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? That Jesus came in flesh and in blood and in the power of God. And we too now have within us God, our Father, the Eternal Father. We now have Jesus, the Son of God, who was sent by God to do a work here, to manifest himself in flesh and in blood, just like you and myself. But he had to be depending on the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. And you notice, when he was coming to the end of his ministry, he said, Father, it is finished. He had finished what the Father had sent him to do. That's what we read in verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That he came in flesh and in blood, and he's now going back to his Father. That's what we need to preach as a church. One, we need the Holy Spirit, which was said so many times through this study here. The Holy Spirit, friends, is not just someone for us to talk about, but is someone to empower us to overcome the devil. If you read through chapter, you'll notice that he was able to overcome the devil.
Indeed.
By the Spirit.
Indeed.
The devil knows this, that he's the Son of God. We too, the devil ought to know that we are the children of God. And I'm going to stop at this, where Jesus, after his death, was ascended into heaven, came back to earth. Who he spoke to? His disciples. And what did he say? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go and do what? Preach, just like what God sent him in flesh and in blood.
Yes.
We are to go because we have the Godhead in us now.
Yes.
And
yes,
we are to demonstrate to the world that is in darkness. We have more devils around us more than once upon a time. But now, how we need the Spirit of God to overcome the devil. Here we see Jesus was able to overcome the devil, and the devil knew him too as well. So it is the devil know us as well, friends. And so we must do what Paul tells us to do. Put on the whole armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Friends, this is a time when we need to put on the armor of God. and fight against the devil, because he's pretty active now. Just like how the devil attacked Jesus, he attacks us as well, because devil is against the church, and we are the church of God. Let us remember, brethren, and I'm going to give others another chance to finish up. We talk a lot about the Spirit of God, but are we seeing the Spirit of God being manifested in our midst? The blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, those that are bruised are healed. Are we seeing this, brethren? We must begin to intercede, not just reading the scriptures, but all that we have read can be manifested in us because we are children, sons and daughters of God. Amen.
Indeed, sir.
And I do pray that after this study here, that every one of us will begin to seek God's face.
Yes,
to be baptized with the power of God to preach and teach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? That Jesus came in the form of flesh and blood representing God. That's the acceptable year. We need to tell the world Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of God, our Heavenly Father. And we who are filled with the Holy Spirit need to demonstrate the power of God in this dark world that is filled with demons around us every day. May God bless us, brethren. I won't take up any more time. There's a lot that we could talk about in the rest of this chapter here. Luke, you will see the fullness as Jesus continued to speak to them, because he just didn't leave them alone like that. He continued to tell them many things. I could point you to many verses here to tell you what Jesus had to say and what he did. I do pray that from this study here, we would be revived and that we would seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which the day of Pentecost, the church was established, and until today's date, the kingdom of God is here with us. Praise his wonderful name. May God bless you, brethren, tonight.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much for that contribution you have made here, highlighting the importance of the blessed Holy Spirit in our operation and the operation of the church. And to know that he's not gone away. In fact, as Sister Fiona mentioned earlier, that referring to St. John 16, where Jesus said, it is expedient for you, not for me, Jesus, but for you, which is you and me tonight, that I go away. Because if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come. Another Comforter will not come. And it is there I would like all of us, as another time I might come back to this Holy, teaching on this Holy Ghost. And it would definitely come from Acts 16, if I'm going to do it. So I would like, in your spare time, just glance over Acts 16. John 16, I beg your pardon. This is loaded. John 16 is loaded. So in your spare time, please take a look at it. You will see the operation of the Holy Ghost in an outstanding type of way. And thank you again, Rev, for that contribution. And we trust that within our whole, our setting here on this platform, as we come to our meeting from time to time, we will experience the manifestation of the blessed Holy Spirit, because there is no doubt about it, church. The need is here. We have needs. We have room that needs to be filled by the blessed Holy Spirit. We have needs.
Amen.
Before I finish,
can I
Can I say something, sir? With the Holy Spirit, yeah. There are some scriptures that speaks about not grieving the Holy Spirit, not quenching the Holy Spirit, not resisting the Holy Spirit. And remember, Jesus told the people that everything could be forgiven, anything said about him or the Father, but anything you say about the Holy Spirit is blasphemy, and you won't be able to be forgiven. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So, there's a lot of people who don't believe in the Holy Spirit, and to resist the Holy Spirit is like condemning yourself, because he's the one that is convicting us all the time and showing us our sin, showing us where we fall and all of that. So if you resist him, then you're going to be in big trouble.
Exactly. Exactly. Glad you bring that up, Sister Barbara, because that's the one sin the Bible said no man will be able to be forgiven of. If you deny, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Because it is the Holy Ghost that is going to show you that you're wrong. It is the Holy Ghost that is going to work on your heart to convince you that you need to be saved. And in the, if you deny that the third person of the Godhead exists, therefore you are going to be forever in darkness. Because you have denied the wooing of the blessed Holy Spirit in your life. You cannot be forgiven. Because the Holy Ghost is a person who tells you that you are wrong. And for you and me to say that we are not wrong. We have not done anything wrong. We are not a sinner. Because we have not sinned. It means that there lies no forgiveness for you. Because the gateway to forgiveness is through the Holy Ghost. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Every one of us are born again because of the Spirit of God. And when we deny his existence, we are in serious trouble. Thank you for pointing that out, my sister. Is there another thought that somebody would like to share before we finish final thought here? Okay. I just want to leave us here tonight as we close off this study here. The six job description that Jesus told us about. As we look on the acceptable year of the Lord. And Pastor went in deep into it to point out what it is all about. But as we look on the dispensation of grace that Jesus introduced, because the word tells us in St. John that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so, the world, those in the church, when Jesus read this passage, and the entire world, I might add, did not know the preciousness of that moment. The landmark which was established by Jesus reading that passage of Scripture, the far-reaching effect of what Jesus did on that particular day. Because when Jesus stood up to read, what was the condition of the world? What condition spiritually the world was in?
Spiritual darkness.
Spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness, to the extent that John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, reminds us. It says, and we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. The entire world, John said, lieth in wickedness. Again, we read in 2 Corinthians 4. 4 and verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which we believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. A world of darkness.
Amen.
A word of God. When Jesus stood up and read that, he was reading something that is extraordinary powerful, because it was the beginning of the penetration of the darkness of this world.
Yes.
So let's look on something here. Jesus has never led a march into the capital. Jesus has never put a group together, a company of people together, and said, let us march upon Jerusalem. Let us march to Jerusalem to demonstrate a change with the government of the day. Jesus has never done that. Yet, he is now establishing something that's supposed to penetrate the kingdom of darkness, the right over all over the world. How is he going to do that? How is that going to be done? It is going to be done by the power of the blessed Holy Spirit. Penetrating the crust of darkness, to bring about light to a world that is lost. Any licensed electrician will tell you that the light drives darkness 86,000 miles per second. Listen to that. Light drive darkness 86,000 miles per second. That is how electricity, how fast electricity works. And Jesus is saying, he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And he is now empowered by the blessed Holy Spirit to take on the darkness that is out there. My brothers and my sisters, tonight I want to tell you, Jesus has never marched upon the capital and say he's demanding change. But guess what? Change is coming, and change has come. Right now, the world, the population of the world is 8 billion people, a little bit over 8 billion people. And the Christian community is 2.3 billion people. Jesus has never marched upon the capital. Yet, Jesus, as a result of the power of the Holy Ghost, presently people who are alive, I'm talking, I'm not talking about those who are dead. Over 2.3 billion people of that 8 billion are Christians. Because of the work of the blessed Holy Spirit, penetrating the crust of darkness, bringing light to the world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it is that I'm growing. Because as we edge towards the return of our Lord, we find that more and more people are going to be saved. But let's look outside of this for a moment. Let's go to Daniel for a second here. Let's go to Daniel for a second. I promise I'm going to give this service to Sister Barbara not too long. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel 2. Daniel chapter 2. And I'm going to read three sections there. I'm going to read verse 34 and 35. And I'm going to read verse 45. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel now is interpreting the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that, one, he could not remember the dream, and two, he could not interpret the dream. So Daniel, the servant of God, was called. And Daniel asked for some time, because Daniel knew that the God of heaven do reveal dreams. And the Lord revealed the king's dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And here is Daniel coming before the king and explaining to him the dream that he had and the interpretation thereof. So let me read a part of that interpretation. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34 and 35 first. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Let me read 45. Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Second time, Daniel is saying that now. And that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Hallelujah. So when you think that when Jesus stood up to read that passage from Isaiah in the temple, it only have a meaning for the moment, you are wrong. It goes far beyond that. Daniel dreamt that dream, and he gave the king the interpretation, and as a result of that dream, it indicated that the time would come when Jesus would start this ministry. Hallelujah. A ministry which is designed to fill the entire earth with the gospel of God and crush all the kingdoms. All the different kingdoms of the world will be crushed by the ministry of Jesus that we are looking at right now. That is the stone that was cut out without hands. Jesus' birth was a miraculous birth. Not the normal way Mary got pregnant, but it was a miracle that Jesus came into the world. And he came into the world to save sinners and to establish a kingdom that will crush all the kingdoms of the world. And tonight, that stone is still rolling. Hallelujah. It is taking down kingdoms. It is taking down kings. It is taking down philosophy. It is taking down everything that exalted itself against God. And ultimately, that kingdom is good. Look at what Revelation puts this. Revelation chapter 11. Let's look at Revelation chapter 11. 15. Revelation chapter 11, 15. Listen to what it says here. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are becoming of the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and shall reign forever and forever. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of the great Christ. And Jesus shall reign forever and ever and ever. Daniel saw it in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And the kingdom that Jesus came, my kingdom is not of this world, he declared to Pilate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this kingdom is growing. And it is growing. And it is growing. And it is growing. The time is going to come when all the kingdoms of this world are going to be defeated. And what is going to be left? The kingdom of the Lord Jesus. The kingdom, for he shall reign from pole to pole. He shall reign from coast to coast. After he has demolished the kingdoms of this world, after he has crushed the prince of darkness, he is going to reign forever. As that dream Nebuchadnezzar had, that Daniel interpreted, the stone was cut out without hands. And it filled the earth. It filled, it grew into a mountain that filled the earth. It started with Jesus reading that passage in the church. And he said, today, today, this is fulfilled in your ears. We have to stop here. I wanted to tell you about the population that Revelation tells us about. Let me read it. Let me just beg Sister Barbara a little bit of her time and read it. Revelation 7 and verse 9. After this, I behold, and lo, a great multitude, which not... Listen to this church. The Bible said no man could number. Out of all nation and kingdom, kindred and people and tongue stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and some in their hands. The whole entire 197 countries of the world, John saw people that no man could number before the Lamb, of every tongue, nation, and all the rest of it, stood before the Lamb. The kingdom of God has swollen to fill the entire earth. So no wonder Jesus said in St. Matthew 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So when you think that Jesus stood up to read in that temple, and it did just stop there, we would make a sad mistake. It was only the beginning of something that was designed by God to fill the entire earth. And even with Jesus' absence, you and I were left behind. Greater works shall we do in terms of volume. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We will stop here. But I want to tell you that you can continue to look on this passage. Because if you continue to read, as Pastor Fanny rightly pointed out, if you continue to read this passage, you're going to find the amount of goals that are in there, the amount of nuggets that are left that we didn't touch. If you read from 31 to 37, you are going to see the extension, how that spirit that was upon Jesus manifest itself when Jesus get to his headquarters, Capernaum. You're going to see how that spirit continue to manifest itself. But I'll leave it here for tonight. And we will pick up another study, the next Bible study. Father, we just bless your name tonight and thank you for what you have done. Thank you for giving us the ability, Lord, to look on this passage and to see what you had started and how much this is continuing. Even for us here on this platform tonight, lifting up the name of Jesus is an extension of what you have started. We bless your name for it, Lord. We bless your name for your people. And we ask that you will continue to give us the desire to search your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Sister Barbara, thank you, my sister. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. To say thank you, Sister Judy Henry. Praise the Lord. Many questions we didn't get to ask, but we have to leave it until the next time. Praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So, we're going to go on to our women's general meeting tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. and that will be by Sister Judy Henry. Next Sunday, or Sunday coming up, third Sunday, it's praise and worship and communion. And the speaker will be Associate Pastor Dean Daly. Tuesday the 23rd, this is not Bible study, it's supposed to be, 1 second, I'm in the wrong place, Pastor. Oh, let me go back. Okay. Tomorrow, the 15th, really, yes, is Women's General Meeting by Sister Judy Henry. And Sunday, the third Sunday, 19th Praise and Worship Communion. And Speaker Associate Pastor Dean Daly. Tuesday, 21st, is Prayer Meeting by Pastor Eric Fiani. And Saturday, 25th, is Women's Seminar. Women's Seminar. I can't believe the time is upon us like that. It's just a little over a week. And we'll have the seminar at the banquet hall. And I know everybody has gotten a copy of the flyer. So we are looking forward to seeing you all. Sunday the 26th is Women's Fellowship. The women of our company will be taking the service. And Tuesday 28th, Evangelical and Testimony Service. Pastor Henry. One birthday, Sister Warren, that's Sister Judy's mother, on May 27th. All right, and I'm just giving you the website now. The website is apostolicchurchinamerica.com. apostolicchurchinamerica.com. And for offerings,
you'd like to use Zelle, please go to apostolicchurchofamerica@gmail.com, gmail.com. And the telephone number is 786-985-3850. The mailing address is the Apostolic Church in America, Inc., P.O. Box 693-865-33269. You can send your tithes and offering through the mail also. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, the website, as we mention all the time, that the website has so many things, all the services that are preached are on the website and the blogs, and you can make your comments and the prayer wall, and you have a lot of things to pray for there on the prayer wall. And as I said, God is answering prayer. And I want to give God thanks. Sunday on Mother's Day, I made an appeal, praise God, Father, that we do a lot for Mother's Day. We buy flowers, we do this, we do, and she could give a special offering to the Lord for mothers. So I just want to thank at least the persons who gave a special offering to the work of the Lord. It's to the work of the Lord. Anything that comes in is for the work of the Lord. Okay?
Yes.
And we have, indeed we have the Samaritan's Purse and Miami Rescue Mission, who are doing so much more than you and I can do. And so the offerings go there also. And we thank you very much for your offerings. And just remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But when you receive, you receive it so that you can be a blessing unto others. So yes. I just want to ask God to bless each and every one that is continually supporting the work of the Lord. We're not just listening to the word and being happy with the word, and we're not doing anything, because the Lord says, part of what he tells us to do is that we are to bring our tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat on his table. And that is a commandment. Okay, so thank you so very much for those of you who are continually supporting God's work. And be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Barbara, for. Thank you for those notices. I will just give God the glory. Thank you very much for coming out to Bible study tonight, and we trust that God has deposited something in your spirit that you will ponder over, and you will give him the glory for it. We are glad to have Sister Russell with us tonight again, and we wish you all the best, Sister Russell, as we continue to pray for you, and we trust that God will strengthen you so that you will be up and about again to do the work that God has called you to do, because you have demonstrated over and again that you want to fulfill your role as far as God's servant is concerned. And we give God the praise for you, and we trust that you will be okay again. Let us pray.
Amen.
Father, we just bless your name. Thank you once again for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for sending Jesus to be our Savior and to shine light in this dark world. Thank you, Lord God, that you have put your word in writing so that we are able to see from one generation to another. We will be able to understand and know about the God of our salvation. Thank you for the work of our Lord Jesus. Thank you that work was passed down to the churches. And thank you that tonight, that same work of the Holy Ghost is available among us. And as we recognize the work and worth of the Holy Ghost in the life of Jesus, which was passed down to the church, tonight that authority we claim that it's still in the church. And Lord, we are appealing to that authority tonight, that you will heal Sister Russell. Heal Sister Russell. The authority of the blessed Holy Spirit will work in her body and in her mind to bring about total healing to do it. And it has passed down now to the church. And we're using this upper authority, Lord, tonight to ask for healing for our sister. And we are praying that in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Sister Russell, you will be made whole. And you will be completely delivered. That God will be glorified in your life. And Lord, not only Sister Russell, but there are others who we believe tonight who need deliverance. When we think about the six areas of ministry that Jesus has worked and proved to us that they can be done, the need is still here with us, only different people. Father, for those who are in service tonight, who are in need of a touch one way or the other, be it finance, be it health, be it relationship. We don't know exactly what some of these needs are, but you know, Lord. And when we look and see the different areas of ministry, you have covered it all. And so tonight we pray that by the authority of the Holy Ghost vested in us, your servants, we are praying that those who are in need will get a touch from the blessed Holy Spirit tonight, and a change will come in their lives. By faith, we are taking hold of this promise, and we are extending our faith and extending our hands and sending our words to those who are in need tonight, that there will be a change, there will be a healing, there will be a deliverance. For we ask in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Bless us as a church, Lord. The Apostolic Church in America. Bless us, anoint us. Fill our hearts. Give us the confidence in you that we need. Cause our spirit to arise to another level in God, so that we'll be able to grab hold of the promises that you have made for us. Bless our efforts as we seek to reach people far and wide. This website, which you have blessed us with, let it work. Let it work, Lord, to bring the gospel to different people across the globe. Father, we wait upon you for our building as well. We wait upon you for our building tonight. We are claiming this in the name of Jesus. Because the Holy Ghost that was upon Jesus, we have seen through your word that through him all things can be accomplished. So we wait upon you. As we give you glory and as we give you praise, in Jesus' name, amen.